We're glad that we're here this morning, and if you are watching online this morning, I want to say welcome and want you to start a watch party right now. Go out and invite some friends to attend church this morning, and all of you that are here with us, we're excited that you're here, and I'll sure be glad when we can just, everybody's comfortable coming. Won't you be glad when that day comes? Man, I'm just looking forward to that. Good grief. And ready to get all that going. Well, hey, this morning we're going to continue in our series, talking about coming together. And, I want to tell you a little story, sort of start off with a little thing this morning in my life. Way back in middle school, I got involved in the school band. When you move from, back then it was junior high school, it wasn't middle school, but you move from elementary school and you go into junior high or middle school, and then they send you into these little rooms and they sort of pitch different things to you, where they pitched band. And I thought I wanted to be a band, in the band, and I wanted to play saxophone, but a saxophone costs quite a bit of money, and my mom knew that I didn't really stick to many things I committed to back then. And so a snare drum was $50. So she said, "You're going to be a drummer." So she bought this drum, and I became a drummer. And I played all through school. I played all through middle school or junior high school. I played in Winter Haven High School marching band and the orchestra. I was the stage band drummer at Winter Haven all through my high school years. And then, of course, back in the 70s, when you had long hair and hip huggers and bell bottoms and headbands, stuff like that, and you played drums, well, I played in some rock and roll bands and just played in a lot of different bands. And because I played in a lot of different bands, I can tell you right now, I have been to hundreds and hundreds of band practices. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a band practice before, but let me just tell you how it works. Now, it's a little different if you're in a rock and roll band or if you're in a band like we've got up here, maybe a little bit different. But if you're in an orchestra or something, what happens is the leader, the conductor, comes out and says, "Okay, we got this new piece we're going to play," and they pass out the music, and then everybody gets the piece. And he says, "Okay, look it over. Okay, everybody get ready. One, two, three, here we go." It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It just sounds terrible. But then the conductor begins to stop everybody and say, "Okay, let's stop. Okay, woodwinds, listen to me. Okay, right here, I want you to do this. All right, percussion, I want you to do this. Now, you need a little bit quieter right here." And they start making these minor adjustments. And then what happens over the course of the time as you do that, then all of a sudden the music starts to take shape and it becomes beautiful. In the beginning, everyone's not in sync, and then people start to come together, and the result is amazing. Everybody gets on the same page, and the music comes alive. And the end result has a great effect on the listener. Have you ever been lost in a piece of music before? Have you ever listened to something, and you just literally sort of get lost in it? Or maybe another way to ask that is back in growing up, was there a piece of music that you loved so much and you would get so engrossed in it? Maybe it was the lyrics, maybe it was the song, maybe the way the guitar solo went, whatever, but you would get so engrossed in it that you just played that song over and over and over and over again, and you listened to it. And so now you're a little bit older and you're driving down the road and that song comes on and it evokes all kind of memories. Nobody wants to say yes. I learned this in the last service, because you're afraid your wife or husband's going to say, "What kind of memories does it evoke?" Okay, I know that's what you're thinking, but you know as well as I do. I can remember a song comes on, and okay, I'm going to date myself, but Bread. I don't know if some of you older folks remember the group Bread. "I found a diary underneath the tree. Started reading about me." Remember that song? Okay, that song brings back some memories, okay? I lived it. Okay, I'm just saying. There's stuff like that that happens. But music moves you a lot. Well, today we're going to see that God's intentions for all of us is to exist in perfect harmony with each other. Because when we exist in perfect harmony with each other, it's music to his ears. And it brings him glory. And we're looking at the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. We've been there for a while now, and there was some tension in that church. There was some tension in the church in Rome. We've learned this over the course of this series, and the last few weeks we've been talking about it in more detail because of where we are in the letter. But there were different ethnic groups in the church. There were Jews and Gentiles, different backgrounds, different beliefs. And at one time, Jews were enslaved by Gentiles. The entire nation of Israel was enslaved. They weren't treated well, treated badly. And so the one time the Babylonians for about 70 years, and then the Egyptians for like 430 years. So there's these different backgrounds and beliefs, and there's all this tension because of the past history between these two groups of people. And now these people are in church together, and Paul is writing and he's talking to them about coming together and overcoming their differences and coming together and having unity. And that's what he's addressing in this part of the letter. So we're going to see what he has to say. Now, there's quite a long passage here. It's Romans 15, verses 5 through 13. So I'm going to read this, and then we'll come back and take a look at little sections of it and see what we can learn. But Paul writes, he says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name.' And again it is said, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And then again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, and in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Let's pray. Father, it's my prayer today, God, that as we look at this passage that deals with unity among people and among your people, God, I pray that you will give us wisdom and insight, and God, that you will open our hearts so that we can experience your word, that you will open our minds so we can understand it, our ears so we will hear it. And God, open our hearts as well that we will apply this to our lives, God, so that we can live in unity and that we can bring you glory. So help us to hear what you want us to hear, and we'll give you the glory for that. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everybody here said, amen. All right, well, the first thing that I want you to see when we look at this passage today is I want you to see that God's desire is for believers to live in harmony. Okay, it's for believers to live in harmony. Look at verse 5. It says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus." Now, actually, verse 5 and 6 here are like a short prayer that Paul offers. He's praying that God will provide the ability for the Jews and for the Gentiles to live in harmony with each other. Because remember, they have a past. Remember, there are tensions that are there. There's probably some arguments taking place, maybe some butting of heads, some differing opinions, and maybe some people are harboring ill feelings. Maybe there's some prejudice. Maybe there's some anger. Maybe there's some hurt. There are all these kinds of things that are going on, and Paul is praying that these people will live together. Now, it's important to understand that the desire that he's praying for here is that they will be united around one purpose, that they will be reunited around one purpose. So the harmony he's talking about is referring to harmony of purpose. He's not talking about everybody being exactly the same. You know, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about everyone bringing their unique gift set, their personality, their passion, their resources, their background, their education, their personalities. He's talking about everybody individually bringing those things together for one purpose. Just like a band or an orchestra, like I said a moment ago, all the different instruments all have different sounds. They do different things. A tuba sounds different than a clarinet. You know, I was a drummer, a percussionist. It's amazing in an orchestra, you can have this big piece of music and there's a specific point in time in that music where there's somebody standing in the back in the percussion station holding a little triangle and they go ding. And if you don't do the ding, the music doesn't sound right. So everybody brings their unique piece to the puzzle. And that's what he's talking about. And look at the next verse, and you can see why that's important. Because unity brings God glory. Okay, unity brings God glory. Romans 15:6 says that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. With one voice we glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we all work together in unity, it's literally beautiful music to God's ears because it brings God glory. Now, it's important to understand again that unity does not mean that we are identical in every single way. It means that in our own uniqueness, in the way that we're created and the way we're wired, the way God created each one of us, it means that we all bring that together to have one mind and one voice and one purpose. And if you think about it, if you dig into this a little bit, you can see that's the point of the passage because Paul uses the word one in the passage. Listen, he says that together you may with one voice. He doesn't say same voice. He says one voice. And that's because unity is a matter of oneness, not sameness. Okay, we're all unique. We're all created differently. We all have different gifts, abilities, talents, resources, all those things. Some of us are from different nationalities and places. We're different colors. We come from different cultural backgrounds. But we all can have one voice. It's all oneness in purpose, but not in sameness. Because the diversity is a beautiful thing. But when we bring it all together for the one purpose of advancing the kingdom and bringing God glory, that's a beautiful thing. And that's the way God created us. You know, another example of this I thought about is a tapestry. You know, you ever seen a big tapestry? Now, maybe it's a rug. You know, it's a big woven rug in someone's house or in a business or something like that. Or perhaps you've gone to an art gallery maybe and you've seen a big tapestry, or maybe just hanging on the wall of a business or somewhere and you see this thing. And you realize when you look at it that this is made up of thread and yarn and all this stuff, and it's beautiful. How did they do this? I mean, this is just the most incredible, intricate, detailed, neat thing, this tapestry. And you see that. Have you seen those before? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever looked at the back of one of those things? Have you ever turned it over and looked at the back? It's a hot mess. It doesn't look like anything on the back. It's just, there's a big knot of something over here. There's strings this long. This is purple, this is green, that's blue. And it just looks, it's just all these millions, it looks like, of components that don't match and don't make any sense, but they're all woven together. And when you flip that thing over, it's beautiful. Because every single thread, every single piece of yarn, every single way that it's woven together has a purpose, and everything is to bring everything together to make this one beautiful thing that makes us feel something, brings beauty into the world, and glorifies God through the beauty. So a tapestry is another way of looking at this if you're not a musical person. It's just another way to look at it. So unity, you know, brings God glory. And you can see all of that in something like a tapestry or in a orchestra. And then Paul goes on and he says, now in all this idea of bringing people together and of having unity, Christ, Jesus, is our example in this. Listen to verse 7. He says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Read that. Let me read that again. Therefore, this is a command, welcome one another. And that's people different than you. People like you, people different than you. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So he says to welcome others as Christ has welcomed us. You see, when it comes to unity, sometimes it can seem as though unity is impossible to achieve. Sometimes it can seem like, man, it's just too much to overcome. We can look at the issues that have to be addressed. We can look at the hurdles that have to be overcome. We can look at the prejudices that have to be dealt with, or maybe forgiveness that has to happen, or hurts that have to be healed. We can see all those things. And when we look at those things, it's overwhelming to us. And we don't know the answers. And so we look at it and we can think the gap is too big. The chasm is just too wide. You can't get there from here. This is just too hard. And now if you think about the Jews and the Gentiles, let's go back to them for a moment and what Paul was writing initially to. Think about the gap between them. Think about how the Jews had grown up under the Jewish law. And they had grown up with God, the God that all of us know, the father of their nation. And that they had been given the law and they lived by these rules and regulations and they had the feasts and the sacrifices and all the things that went along with the law. And then the fact that the Gentiles, many of them came from pagan belief systems and had all kind of crazy things that they worshiped and did, and idols and all that. And in addition to that, the groups of Gentiles had literally owned the nation of Israel and held them captive as slaves and mistreated them, killed them, didn't feed them well, just beat them down for five, we know for just the two examples I gave, for 500 years. That seems like an insurmountable gap, doesn't it? How in the world are they ever going to come together? How can they ever trust each other? How can they ever love each other? But Paul reminds us something. And this is critical, and you need to listen to this, and don't forget this. Paul reminds us that there is no gap that's bigger than the one between us and God because of sin. There is no gap that's bigger. There is no gap that's bigger. We sinned against God. Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, and the relationship between man and God was severed, marred, broken, and it was sullied, whatever you want to say. It was broken, and it needed to be mended. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross, that if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, that Jesus would be the reconciler, that Jesus would make things right, that he's the answer, that the biggest gap that has ever existed could be bridged. And we see that here. Jesus is the perfect example of that. And we have to determine, you and I and every other human being, we have to determine to put our faith and our trust in Jesus, because Jesus is the bridge. He is the gap. We have to demonstrate genuine forgiveness, just like Jesus demonstrated forgiveness. He was willing to go to the cross and die on your behalf and my behalf. While the Bible says we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. He didn't have to do it, but he stepped out and said, I love you so much, and I'm going to go the extra mile, and I'm going to die so you can be reconciled with my Father. And so Jesus did that. So Jesus is our perfect example of how far we need to go. We need to go as far as we need to go. We need to take the initiative. Romans says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It doesn't matter if the other person is living at peace with you. That's not the issue. You're going to stand before God and give an account of how you lived at peace with everyone, not how they lived at peace with you. So we all have to do that. And Christ is our example. And then Paul goes on and he says, and this is a great part of the scripture, he says that the unity we're talking about here reflects God's intended mission. The unity reflects his intended mission. Look at Romans 15, 8 through 9, or the first part of 9. Paul says, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness. in order, so that's to be the Jews, to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles, okay, the pagans, the Gentiles, might glorify God for his mercy. So here Paul talks about how God coming to earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, a servant. Remember we read that Philippians verse, that he came in the form of a servant, in the form of a man, not just a man, but a servant, and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Remember, we talked about that. So here Paul talks about how God coming to earth in the form of a man, a servant, demonstrates that God's plan from all eternity for humanity has always been that we live in harmony and live in unity. That's been his plan, that we live together, that we love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's been God's plan forever. And then it's the interesting thing that he does, because now he knew that we were going to have the Bible, that until Jesus comes back, we're going to have the Bible as our guide for living. And he knew that. And so the Bible is inspired by God, written by God through these people that were inspired, and it's inerrant, infallible, inspired. We know all of that stuff. So in the story, in the early story, early on when things were shaping up and God's plan was unfolding, he brings the Jews and the Gentiles together. This group of people, that there was so much tension, there was so much strife, they didn't like each other, that there was a history of horrible slavery between these two groups. And he brings these two groups together for one single purpose: to demonstrate for all of us, for all the future generations, how things are supposed to work. And by bringing both groups together, God demonstrates that reconciliation is possible and that the result makes everybody stronger when we all come together. And through reconciliation and through unity, we are blessed. You're blessed. We have a better life. We have peace. We have prosperity, we're blessed and we grow in our relationship with Christ and our righteousness. We're blessed by God, and God is glorified when we're living in harmony and in unity. And then he drives this point a little further home. Look at the next part of the verse, beginning with the second half of verse 9 and going to 12. Paul says, and in order, and here's the point, multi-ethnic unity has always been God's plan. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. Now, Paul's purpose here is to remind all of us, to remind us that God has always had multi-ethnic unity in mind. He actually quotes from a number of Old Testament passages and prophets who were preaching the same exact messages thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. And the message is this: God has always desired that all people live in harmony and unity and bring him glory. All of us are created in the image of God. The Bible doesn't say that God created one people group in his image. The Bible says he created mankind in his image. All of us are created in his image. No matter where we come from, what our nationality is, what color we are, it does not matter. We're all created in the image of God, and God wants all of us working together in unity. And here's the deal, for one purpose. The problem is, so often we work for our own agenda. But God says, no, it's not your agenda, it's my agenda. Your purpose on this planet, if you're black, white, if you're Asian, if you're Hispanic, if you're part of one and part of the other, if you're poor, if you're rich, if you've got power, if you don't have any power, your purpose for existing, the reason I've got you on planet Earth is to advance my kingdom and bring me glory. Amen. That's what God says. That's it. But what happens is our human nature and our flawed, sinful selves, we start trying to live for our own agenda. And then when something happens and we're treated badly, we want to exact our pound of flesh. But the Bible, God says in the Bible, hey, you don't have to exact your pound of flesh because vengeance is mine. I'm going to deal with the problems. It's his deal. And so that takes a load off of you and it takes a load off of me. Our goal is just to bring God glory in everything that we do. So God has desired always for people to live in harmony. And again, we see the Jews and the Gentiles being used as an example. Early on, God provides the example, the perfect example of completely different people with a lot of hostility and a lot of past, a lot of hurt, a lot of prejudice, a lot of hang-ups, a lot of anger, a lot of stuff that we're hearing about today, all of it being reconciled through Jesus Christ. And the point here is that God is interested in all people from all nations coming together in unity. Regardless of race, regardless of past experiences, God wants us to focus on Jesus Christ. Because he knows better than anyone, there is no reconciliation that will take place. There's no remedy that will ever come. There is no peace that will ever be found outside of pursuing unity and harmony God's way through Jesus. Guys, let me tell you something. I said this last week. There isn't a government program. There's not an organization or a movement. There isn't somebody on a talk show. There isn't a book that you're going to read. There's none of that stuff that is going to solve the problems that we're dealing with today. There's only one way to solve this problem, and that's by putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. That's the answer to this problem. That is exactly what Paul was telling us. He was saying, look, here's two groups that could not have more tension between them. Nobody's ever going to have any more tension. They've been treated badly. They've been enslaved. Everything bad in the world's happened. And now I've got them all together and I'm bringing them together. And I'm telling you all that Jesus is the answer to bringing this group of people together. Jesus is the answer to bringing all of us together and all the problems that we're facing today. And without Jesus, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That, and you may say, well, that's just overly simplistic. No, it's not overly simplistic, because the moment you start trying to fix this problem outside of Jesus Christ, you're preaching a different gospel than the one that's in this Bible. And this is the only gospel. This is truth without mixture of error. There is no truth that trumps this truth. So we've got to make sure, and we've got to understand that our goal is to bring glory to God. Let me just tell you something. You know, we talk about sharing our faith sometime. Right now, I mean, it's always important to share our faith. It's always been important to share our faith. But let me tell you something. I don't think there's been a more important time in history for us to share Jesus with people. If you're a believer, you need to be sharing Jesus with people, because the solution to all the stuff we're going through right now is that relationship with Jesus. And if you don't tell people about Jesus, who's going to? People that don't have a relationship with him sure aren't going to tell people. So it's up to you and me to do it. Then Paul builds on that same text and that same fact in the last verse, and this is what he says. He says, the Holy Spirit provides the power for the unity. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that, listen to this part, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Paul ends by praying that God will work in you and that he will work in me, that he will work in all of us so that we will embrace this truth that he's teaching. And the only way we will ever see unity among believers or among other people anywhere is by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. Because we have to have the Holy Spirit living in us to enable us to do the things we've been talking about. We don't have it in us to do it ourselves. We just don't. Without the Holy Spirit's help, we're not going to have any hope. We can make a plan. We can make resolutions. We can seek the best advice. We can look to all of the experts. We can look to the government for help, but we will never, ever get this right because as people, every one of us are sinful creatures that are flawed. Now, we're forgiven of our sins, but we still have a sin nature, and we're still self-centered, and we're not perfect, and we're going to always have problems unless we invite Jesus into the equation. He is before all things, and in Him, all things hold together. There's only one answer to all this. His name is Jesus. That's the answer. God's desire is for us to live in harmony, in unity of purpose. He's not asking you not to be you. He's asking you not to be a sinful you. He's asking you to bring your gifts, bring your talents, bring your passions, bring it all together to advance the kingdom and bring Him glory. We got to put our faith and trust in Him. And through a relationship with Him, the Holy Spirit living in us, we can defeat the biggest problem that we have in getting all this right. And that's our own sinful selves. That's the problem. But through Jesus, we can fix that. Jesus, the good news is this, Jesus is available to help us to get through it. Jesus is the only answer to all of this stuff that we're going through. And He wants us to have unity. Paul is just imploring us to get this right. He gave us the biggest example in history. He goes, look at the Jews, look at the Gentiles. These guys are living together in a church. They have this terrible history. And there's just been this, you know, fussing and fighting, and there's all this tension, and then these folks own these folks, and there's all this baggage, and there's all this stuff. But if you will put your faith and trust in Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit of God to indwell you, you can overcome your hurt. You can overcome your anger. You can overcome your prejudice. You can overcome all the wrongs that have been done. You can overcome it and forget about advancing your agenda. Forget about somebody else advancing their agenda. All of us need to be advancing one agenda, and that's the kingdom of God. We need to be advancing that and bringing God glory. And if we will do that, we will have unity. Let me tell you something. If every person we knew would pick up this book and would do what this book says, in 1 week, our problems would go away. That's the truth. But we want our way more than we want His way, don't we? We'll change that today. Put Him first, and let's live in unity. Let's be the voice. Let's be the solution. Let's don't be the problem. Father, we thank You so much, God, for Your glory. We thank You so much for this whole section of Scripture where Paul deals with unity. We thank You, God, that through Your divine appointment that You brought us to this place in Scripture at this point in time. This isn't planned because our country's going through something. God, we've been preaching through this book. This is just where we landed at this point in time. So apparently, You wanted us to hear this. Help us not to be just hearers, as James says, but to be doers. Help us to be people who apply this to our lives. God, if there's a person here today and they don't have a relationship with You, it's going to be impossible for them to get this right. Because without the Holy Spirit of God living in us, we cannot get this right. We can never do this on our own because we don't have the ability or the power within us to do it. The power comes from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God living in us. So if there's someone here that needs a relationship with You today, God, help me to speak to them right now. If that's you, listen to me. If that's you and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and if you genuinely and sincerely desire a relationship with Jesus, because there is no magic prayer or anything you can pray. It's just, do you really want a relationship with Jesus? And if you do, if you will pray, and you just pray with me right now, just say, Jesus, I am a sinner. God, right now, I want to be forgiven of my sins. So I'm asking You to forgive me of my sins. And I'm asking You to cleanse me of my unrighteousness. I'm asking You to take away my anger. I'm asking You to take away my hurt. I'm asking You to take away my prejudice. I'm asking You to take away my racism. I'm asking You to take away all these things that maybe I don't even want to admit that I have, but I do. And I'm asking Your Holy Spirit to take up residence in me and help me to love love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself, and help me to be an advocate and a soldier and a proponent and a fighter for unity. Help me be one of those people. Help me to speak to the solution and not the problem. So God, I give myself to you right now. In the best way I know how, I commit my life to you. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today and you just need, maybe you are a Christian, but maybe you have a little bit of problem. Maybe if the truth is known, you got some prejudice in you. Maybe if the truth is known, you don't. You look at your neighbor down your nose at them. Maybe you look at other people as not quite as good as you, or maybe you look at people that are lost and you look at them and you get angry at them instead of looking at them as somebody who needs you to tell them about Jesus because they're important to him. Maybe you need to ask God to help you do that. Maybe you need to pray and do that. I don't know what you need to do today, but if you'll do it, if you'll go to Christ, he'll help you out. So here's what I want you to do. Today, we're not going to go to the crosses like we normally do because of all the stuff that we're going through with the pandemic and all that. But today, I want you to text, to email your prayer request in. And if you make a decision to follow Christ, let us know that you made that decision. Drop a note in one of the boxes as you're leaving today. Or send us something electronically, or send us something in snail mail. Whatever you want to do, just let us know so we can help you in your journey. And listen, guys, walk out of this place today understanding that this is God's word, and this is what he's telling us to do. And do a self-examination. Where are you? What's your attitude? What's your heart in all of this? Really, really look at yourself. Decide to be part of what God has said to do and be part of the solution and not part of the problem. How about that?